flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But Odyssey Sports is giving you and three other friends the opportunity to go watch the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament at the Circa Resort in Las Vegas. Here's all you have to do. If you listen for 1 hour each day, you will be entered to win the Slam Dunk in Vegas. Again, it's 5 nights at the Circa, $20,000 spending cash. That's $5,000 for you and each of your pals to have the ultimate viewing experience for you and your friends during the most exciting weekend of the college basketball season. Again, listen for 1 hour each day for your daily entry. All you got to do is download the Odyssey app, be logged in, and listen to 92.9 FM ESPN right here. Dennis Flores, producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us, my company today. Back after a week off, gallivanting across Anaheim, California, and then perusing the streets of Las Vegas trying to find a new car. He is Tim Murray, of course, the host of VSiN's college football, college basketball betting podcast, the host of VSiN's betting tailgate show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow him on Twitter on X at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Eventful week. We accomplished a lot. We got to see Disneyland. We got to buy a new car. And I even added a new show to my repertoire. So Sunday mornings, I'll be on the airs too on VSiN. So I'll be your weekend morning navigator, if you will. But good to be back, man. Good to be back here on these airwaves. And a whole lot to talk about, man. There was a little bit of movement in the NBA world, huh?
A little bit of movement. So we'll discuss a couple of things. I want to discuss the Super Bowl with Tim as well as, of course, the Luka trade. Get into probably some NBA during the next segment. We're going to ponder the question of whether or not we believe in the Grizzlies. We'll discuss that. And then we'll get into the list during hour number two. I want to get into a couple of gambling stories, scandals, if you will, that have made the news. Also, we have found out that Tom Brady will take part in the production meetings for the Super Bowl. So discuss whether or not that might suggest anything one way or the other. Tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think, Tim, because, you know, it's the topic on everyone's mind. Luka's been introduced today in L.A. Anthony Davis took part in the media availability in Dallas earlier today, but we did find out with the abdomen strain, he's still not going to play, but he did at least speak with the media. I think this is kind of where I want to start. And you and I both agree the hyperbole in today's sports oftentimes forgets things that happened 6 months ago. I've racked my brain, and I think this is true. In my lifetime, so since 1988, and let's say like my sports consciousness, let's say like 93, I cannot remember a transaction in sports that was more stunning to me and honestly confusing. And the thing about oftentimes when you get confusing transactions is eventually they start to make sense. I don't feel like I've gotten any more clarity other than like, okay, we now know like how the scenes played out. But I still don't feel like we've gotten a ton of clarity about this entire move.
I would agree. And I was trying to think of something that was more shocking. And, you know, you and I were kind of going through some transactions that unfolded that were certainly stunning. And I think you can go through, like, I think if you decipher stories like the OJ Bronco chase was pretty stunning, right? Like that
Correct.
Whole thing was pretty stunning. You know, before you and I were born, but we certainly know the story, the United States hockey team beating the Soviet Union, right? If
Yes.
if you remove things like that from a transaction standpoint, whether it be a trade, free agency decision, coaching decision, whether it be hired, fired, going to, I don't know what tops this, because the magnitude of this deal with a player like Luka Doncic going to an organization like the Los Angeles Lakers, it never happens. And, you know, LeBron James left in free agency. That was certainly surprising. And he, you know, had the decision. He goes to Miami and then he does the thing with Sports Illustrated, goes back to Cleveland. Kevin Durant was one that you brought up, him leaving Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. But the difference is all of those were in the works. Like, there was a decision to be made for LeBron James to go to Miami. There was wooing out there for Kevin Durant's services, for him to land with the team that won the championship 2 years prior and won 73 regular season games the year before was stunning. But this came out of nowhere, man. Like, absolute jaw on the floor type of nowhere transaction. And I think your point is valid too. I still don't get it. I still don't understand it. I don't think I ever will understand it. Maybe someday there will be a 30 for 30 on this. But Luka quickly shot down any thought of he wasn't going to re-sign. Now, maybe that's his team getting in his ear. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories out there. I think I'm just going to settle on this. Nico Harrison was tired of Luka Doncic's whatever. He loves AD, and that's why they made the trade. I'm going to go simplistic on this as opposed to kind of conspiracy tinfoil hat.
Okay, the problem, though, is in that scenario, he's able to work unilaterally. Because I think the biggest hang-up that I have is ownership has to sign off on this, one way or the other. And I think it's safe to say if Cuban still owned the team, this doesn't happen. Okay, that's fine. He doesn't own the team anymore. I do think something that this transaction did actually clear up is I felt like ever since Cuban sold the team, but then they announced that he was still going to be like the president of basketball, like I do feel like we got to the point where I'm sure some people knew, but like we pretty clearly understand now. Mark Cuban has nothing to do with the Mavericks other than being a mascot. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay, so that is maybe something we've learned. But in the end, someone has to sign off on this. And I think that's kind of where I keep going back to. that's the question that perplexes me the most, which is you have new ownership group and maybe they've become just as frustrated with Luka as Nico has been. But like Nico's not allowed to, I mean, in the end, Nico works for the owner and the ownership group. Like he's not able to just go and do this and be like, and then report back to the owners. What do you want me to do? Like I made a move.
I guess the thing about that I still can't wrap my head around is, well, two things. Number one, everyone, you know, we keep hearing he's out of shape. He was, you know, over 270 pounds. These are the things that were coming up on Saturday night. They're tired of his, I don't know, antics, whatever. He literally dragged this franchise to the NBA Finals last year.
Well, it's the part of the we're in win now mode that is so confusing.
Like he averaged 32-9-8 in a 5-game gentleman's sweep over the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that everybody seemed to anoint as the next coming in the Western Conference. And it wasn't Kyrie, it was Luka that won them that series. And yes, they had some very good frontline defense. But Luka Doncic is the
Lively was very good too. But none of that even matters if Luka wasn't what he was.
Right. And like I'd have to go back and look at all of the games, but I remember talking about it on VSiN quite a bit. Like I bet under Kyrie Irving player props pretty regularly in that run. And like Kyrie, if I remember correctly, was kind of hit or miss on a lot of those games. And I'll say this, I am not a Kyrie fan. Since he's gotten to Dallas, he's really been damn good. He's been doing his thing, and he's been playing to the level that we kind of saw early on in the tenure in Cleveland. And he's been really good this year. But looking back at the postseason a year ago, he wasn't the reason they... I'm not saying they didn't get there without him, but... he wasn't the reason they ultimately made it to the NBA Finals. I mean, he averaged 15 points per game in the series against Oklahoma City.
No, remember, that was the PJ Washington series.
Against Minnesota, he was very good. So yes. I should give him some credit. He was very good in that series. Luka was better, but he had a great game in the clincher against Minnesota. But he was really good in the Western Conference Finals and then kind of shrunk again in the NBA Finals. First two games, he didn't do anything.
He had four games in Boston. That was a problem.
Yeah. So,
like, three games in Boston, sorry.
I think, and I know this has been dissected every which possible way, like, AD's playing his ass off right now. He's playing really well. And I know he's a little bit nicked up, which is the story of his career, but the last two seasons, he's been relatively, for his standards, durable and reliable. He's an all-star this year, second-team All-NBA a year ago. And can you make an argument that Dallas maybe is better to win a championship this year with AD and Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington and Kyrie without Luka? Maybe you could, but like from a long-term standpoint, this makes zero sense at all.
Yeah, and I think I was trying to think of some of the other ones because you'd mentioned... to me, the one that was closest is Durant over 4th of July, and was that 2015 that he announces he does the Players Tribune and he says he's going? Like, I was trying to think of others. What do we put the Falcons drafting Penix after signing Cousins this year?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's pretty high. Not as shocking as what, you know, we saw, but... yeah, to see a franchise go out there and give $100 million to a quarterback and then draft a quarterback eighth overall was pretty stunning.
Because like I was thinking, the Broncos firing Shanahan, but at the same time, like they'd kind of started to plateau a little bit. Like I think it was probably still the wrong call, but man, I couldn't even think of anything else because all of the other big names that we've seen getting moved, there was some indication that the person was going to move. And you even threw out Belichick to North Carolina. And I think the reason why I would say this story to me is different is you and I, when we first heard Belichick in North Carolina, we rolled our eyes. We've been like, okay, I guess that's Belichick's people trying to keep his name out there as we go into coaching carousel season. But then a couple of days later, you got the detail that perhaps this deal could involve a coach in waiting for Stephen Belichick. And that changed it. And that's kind of my point, is that when you start to hear new details, you're like, oh, okay, that kind of makes some sense. Like, even with the Durant stuff, when you started to read the backstories about what went into the decision, and you find out, okay, a lot of people that surround Durant, they didn't like Oklahoma City, they didn't like the club scene, couldn't go out to dinner, and they were enamored with Silicon Valley and the money he could make there. It's like, okay, I can kind of see that. I also think with Durant believed, and whether or not he's right or wrong, I guess time will tell. He's still going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know how much it matters, but he believed on Wikipedia, when you look up and you see he's won three championships, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter that he had to go to the Warriors. All that history will remember is that he was a three-time champion. Now he only won two of those, but you get the point. This is one of those ones that even when you start to get the context and you hear how they kept it quiet, which is believable. They didn't want to involve the agents. They didn't really want to involve. It was basically just the two GMs hammering it out. It still doesn't get back to the point of why would you do this? And I kind of feel bad to a certain degree, because it's almost like we're acting like they traded Luka Doncic for, you know, replacement level big. No, they've traded him for arguably the second best big on the planet. Like, he dominates everyone with the exception of Jokic. That's it.
Look, Nico Harrison pointed out, right? You know, I just, once again, his quote that he gave to Tim McMahon on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, which was, he believes defense wins championships. You were in the championship last year because of Luka, and now you're moving on from a 25-year-old superstar, face of your franchise. Like, also, too, to your point, kind of going back to Mark Cuban, like, the NBA is it fair to say the NBA of the four major sports is the most star-driven league, and that people go to games to see a particular star?
Yes.
And Luka is that guy. They don't have that guy anymore in Dallas. And now, if they go out and win a championship this year, which I don't think they will, but if they did, I guess that would validate it to an extent. But what if Luka turns to be an all-time great Laker?
Well, then there's the other question that Windhorst discussed. I think it was maybe on First Take this morning. Like, Windhorst isn't convinced that Luka's going to sign the extension there. I mean, there is kind of a level of, all right, if I'm going to take this at face value and that they decided they were out of the Luka Doncic business, this is kind of a, you know, on the one hand, people go, well, at least you traded him to the Lakers. There's kind of a middle finger element here of, okay, you can't go, you're not going to be able to sign the Supermax, and you're now going to have to go play 44 games because of what, well, no, probably Yeah, the 43 games. Yeah, let's see. So they play the Clippers in California, the Kings, and the Warriors. So let's say you play them twice. So 47 of your 82 game checks are in California, taxed at 14% higher. Like, they could have easily cost him like $150 million by doing this move.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I know there's ways about...
And who knows what the next CBAs and whatnot. Like, but the other problem is, because of this contract and he can't sign with bird rights, like, that limits what he can sign for.
It does make it trickier for the Lakers, I think, to sign him long-term, but it's not a small market organization who's getting him, right? It's the Los Angeles Lakers, who have always had stars come to their city. They treat their stars the right way, as we've seen with Kobe and his deal toward the end of his career. Same ownership there. But yeah, there's a risk that he certainly could not like what he's seeing and ultimately roll. And there's no advantage for him being in LA outside of just being there, knowing the front office, the co-ownership, et cetera, that he could ultimately, you know, leave. That certainly is possible. I would say that's the underdog at this point, but who knows how the next, you know, however many years plays out. But I guess the last thing is, and this has been brought up by a couple of folks, you're so enamored by AD. That seems to be the driving thing for me, is that they just wanted AD. How do you not call the Bucks? And just
how do you not call everyone
and just ask? Like, okay, so as good as AD is, and he's great. He's a Hall of Famer. He's second team All NBA. He's an All Star this year. He's playing really well. He's one of the better defenders in the league. But is he your alpha? Is he Jokic? Is he Giannis? No, he's never been. You know, I guess he was in New Orleans, the main guy, the main attraction. And I think he thrived, in my opinion, off of LeBron being the alpha dog. All the attention goes on him, and he could just kind of do his thing. But how do you not, from a business standpoint, make this a bidding war? How many teams would jump in? Think about the trades we've seen in recent years that have netted so much return in the NBA. I mean, first round picks have been thrown out there like candy. And all you got was AD, Max Christie, good piece. No doubt. He's been playing really well. And a first round pick. That's it. You didn't get the 2031 pick. You didn't get Austin Reeves. You didn't get Dalton Connect. Like, how do you not get any of those pieces?
I mean, if the story is to be believed, the answer is he's legitimately the worst negotiator in the history of the planet. Because essentially, if we're to take it at face value, Pelinka and him both decided we're doing this between us. We're not bringing the agents in. We don't need this to leak. We're trying to keep this as small as possible. Basically, Pelinka's like, you don't want to bring this to the Bucks. Then it gets out there that Luka's out. They're not trading you. They're not trading you Giannis Antetokounmpo. You don't bring this to the Celtics. They're not trading you Tatum. They're not trading you Brown, whoever you want. Like, that's kind of where I struggle, because like in the end, even if you decide Anthony Davis is the best, is what you want, I don't really understand the risk of, well, if we go and we put it on the market, we're going to end up hurting ourselves. Like, in the end, like, if they say, well, they were worried about fan backlash, like, vetoing it, well, I mean, did you really think that the fans were going to be cool with it? They're already offering today, reportedly, refunds to season ticket holders. And I think it's like a $2,000 credit. My assumption would be is it $2,000 for people that cancel their season tickets for next year. It's probably a refund to entice you to buy for this year. Like, I don't think they're just saying, okay, here's $2,000 to every season ticket holder for what we did. Like, I would assume that there's a catch, but it implies that you knew that you were going to deal with the blowback anyway. So it just simply makes no sense to me. And then basically, by not taking it to market, you allowed yourself to end up getting a worse deal. Like, Connect was reportedly involved with the picks. I think it was two first-round picks because they got to keep the 31 pick. Yep. So, I don't know. Like, I'm at a loss. Like, nothing that they... If you're doing the whole prisoner's dilemma, nothing makes sense unless you just say this. Nico is a big believer in Nico. And when everyone killed the Mavericks for going to get Kyrie, it's quote-unquote worked out.
It
now,
is.
I would also like to see, like, Kyrie's been playing nice. Like, we act like, because he's played nice for about 10 months, that he's not going to revert back to everything he's been the rest of his career. But, okay, that's worked out. And basically what he's saying is, y'all thought I was stupid then, y'all think I'm stupid now, just watch. And so, to like a certain degree, I guess I kind of tip my cap, because in a day and age where I feel like so many roster people are excessively risk averse, like, I do kind of appreciate someone like literally putting his nuts on the table, but it still doesn't make sense to me as to why this was even available to begin with.
I try to play the contrarian a lot, right? I try to look at the other side. It's just, when everybody seems to align on one side, I'm like, well, what is that other side, right? And I'm having a hard time seeing the other side outside of, look, AD's really good, but from a business standpoint, unless he got word via Luka's camp, which Luka has denied, and there hasn't been any reporting that says otherwise.
He was reportedly closing in on a $15 million house in Dallas.
He wasn't going to turn down $350 million.
No, I think the other thing that's interesting about this is this a organizational way? Like, what we've been seeing is players now can't give up that money. So they sign the Supermax, and then
ask for a trade.
But what I think they have to wait at least like a year.
Right. So that's been a move by a number of players where you sign the Supermax, and then shortly thereafter, like Bradley Beal kind of did that, right, with the Wizards. Actually, he didn't really force his hand. He had
I've actually decided I've never loved Bradley's game, but in terms of an aspirational human being, he's up there for me. Like, never really wanted to move because moving sucks. It's like, I don't really want the pressure of playing in all these big games. Like, I'm cool here in D.C. Like, I like it where I live. Like, his entire vibe I've always found aspirational.
So I think the bigger question now is, as we've kind of moved on from it and everyone's kind of given their two cents and, you know, now we're getting the takes of LeBron and Luka aren't going to work together. I think this is, to me, this is different than Russ when he came. Because as soon as Russ was signed by or traded for, speaking of the Wizards, by the Lakers, I immediately was like, this isn't going to work. There's no way this is going to work. This I'm not so sure of. Like, I think it could work. I think Luka's obviously better than Russell Westbrook.
They've got to figure out a big in the middle, but I'm with you. I find it hard to believe that the two perimeter players that are elite. I'm with you.
Yeah, and I think too, like from the Lakers standpoint, you do this trade without blinking.
10 times out of 10.
Of course. Like the Los Angeles Lakers, and I was listening to Simmons on Saturday night, who openly despises the franchise. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, they had it happen again. They don't need your help, and they got it. This was a franchise, let's be honest, that was looking at what was the future holding. Like, LeBron has exceeded expectations in the sense of longevity, that he's still playing at this level at 40 years old. AD was playing well, but the reality was AD going to be good enough to get this franchise to championship levels once LeBron inevitably retired? And I think the answer was no. And now you get dropped Luka, who, let's not forget too, was it the bubble season that he went out and just dominated the Clippers, a team that people thought was going to make a run? Or was that, I can't remember, was that Denver? I think that was Denver who beat the Clippers. But he's had moments in the postseason, even prior to last year leading the Mavericks to the NBA Finals. And he's 25 years old, and he's a five-time first-team All-NBA player. And I think the question is, like, how do they figure out this year? I don't know. But guess what? They weren't winning a title this year anyways
To me, what they figured out is, and you can make the argument, like, to me, this all makes sense from the Lakers' perspective.
100%.
Because also, this keeps you from that bubble period of whenever LeBron does finally leave, retire, until LeBron, so what was there, probably 4 or 5 years between Kobe and LeBron?
Yes.
So that kind of that, and then the window post Magic until they get Shaq, like that it allows you to figure that time frame out.
Well, also remember this too. They had given all those picks to the Pelicans, who are banking on once LeBron retired and AD probably gets hurt, they'll be the worst team in the Western Conference. Well, now you've got a safety net in Luka.
Well, and like it just allows you to transition it over to them. And I think also probably for Pelinka, this is kind of a way of quietly retaking the franchise back from LeBron. Because rightfully so, wherever LeBron goes, he is the franchise. With the exception, I guess, of Miami. Because Miami, it was still kind of Pat Riley's way. You know, when LeBron wanted Spoelstra gone, no, he walked down and goes, that's not going to happen. But the Lakers have largely given their franchise over to LeBron, and this is a way to kind of quietly take it back?
I would say yes and no. I've heard a lot of people try to be on the other side. Well, this was the way to stick it to Clutch, right? Because AD's a Clutch.
Oh, I haven't heard.
Client.
Also, yeah, the biggest media Clutch client was the one that broke the story. So,
well, and also LeBron just signed a 2-year, $100 million extension this offseason. And oh, by the way, they drafted his child. So,
I did like that hypothetical. If they would have asked LeBron, hey, the Mavericks are only willing to do this if we throw in Bronny.
That's an awesome one.
God, that would have been awesome. Listen, it'll be good for him to go learn from someone else.
He needs to work with J.K.
Yeah. Work on his game. I mean, I don't know. Like, I also feel like there's a part of me that I get annoyed. As someone who actually likes basketball, I do get annoyed in the NBA when so much of the conversation is just driven by everything outside of basketball. But this one has just clearly, it's broken my brain. Like, I do not understand it. Like, I even got into, like, I think it was a Facebook thread that got quoted on Twitter that was, like, 13 premises from a Texas-based lawyer that's a season ticket holder that understands the Texas legislature that believes that this is the Adelson ownership group beginning the process of, because the whole idea was they wanted to build the Venetian Dallas, and the Venetian Dallas featuring the residency of the Dallas Mavericks. Like, it was going to be longer than Bruno Mars's totally not gambling debt residency at Park MGM. But that didn't go through. It's going to be another 2 years. They've spent all this money on lobbying and whatnot. Like, it was one of those theories that I'm like, I'm not like there, but I phrased it as I'd be willing to take the whole literature and read it and kind of do my own research. But, like, that's where I am. It's like, this thing makes so little sense to me that I'm open to these kinds of ideas.
I'm trying to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to a guy who runs an NBA franchise that he's not this big of a moron.
I think I will say this. I don't think you can divorce yourself from this fact. This man's career was largely made by Kobe Bryant. I can't think of two people that handle their business in basketball differently than Luka and Kobe Bryant.
That's fair. I texted a buddy of mine who has never coached in the NBA but has coached professionally, more so in college. And I texted him and I said, well, what if, you know, Luka goes to LA. Well, he was in full-on agreement. Like, what is going on? Like all of us.
Yeah, that's the other thing that was so striking about this. I've never seen more media people have impromptu conversations with executives, coaches, like everyone trying to figure out what was going on. Like, right. To me, like that was symbolic of what actually happened.
And this guy, this is a coach, but he basically said, he's like, Luka doesn't listen to anybody. But I'm like, but what if... Now you've got a dude in Luka who has all the motivation in the world, and he's like any alpha dog. He's a very spiteful person from my understanding. So he's hearing everything that's out there. And now, say what you will about LeBron, but the one thing we can give credit to him is that dude has taken care of his body the best out of, I think, any professional athlete in the history of the sport. Like,
it's to me the only other person. It's another sport. It's either him or Brady.
Like, yeah, Brady's fair. Yeah, that's a.
But you said fair. This sport, so I'm with you.
Yeah, it, I mean, everything you've heard about, everything that's gone into. I mean, the dude's 40 playing at a level that we've never seen before. Say what you know, Jordan. Okay, fine. He was not this.
We act the, like Wizards. Jordan never happened.
The consistency of him in Washington was not what we're seeing with LeBron right now. And if LeBron, I don't think it'll happen, but what if, kind of puts Luka under his wings and like, hey, man, these are my ways. Could we see like the super monster of Luka emerge, a jacked six-pack Luka? I don't think so, but I'm like, what if that happens? What if he just goes to LA?
I can tell you this from personal experience. There is no place that is more motivating to lose weight than LA.
Explain.
So everyone out there is super skinny. Everyone out there eats super healthy. And also, the food sucks for the most part out there. So it's not that hard to lose a bunch of weight. Also, I got to imagine it's the Ozempic capital of the world. So my fear is this all works. Like, I think now I'm just at the point where what I'm rooting for is Luka signs somewhere else next summer. Because I think all that's going to happen. Like, I think he's going to get in shape. Like, my buddy used to say at Pepperdine, oh, there goes the other fat guy. As in, there was only one other one on campus. And, like, he's like, we have a secret. We have, like, a head nod, like, that acknowledges, like, we see you. You know, it's
was just, it at the point where being fat actually was, like, kind of endearing and chicks liked the other fat guy?
You kind of had to find the contrarians. but, like, the problem is so many of the girls, like, were, like, it's like a lifestyle. And, like, you know, I don't know what your experience is with Pinkberry.
I don't know what that is.
It was marketed towards every girl from the age of 18 to 21, circa 2007, was convinced that it was healthy frozen yogurt. And so, by the way, it tastes like bad frozen yogurt. And by the way, it isn't that healthy for you. But it's just like the whole lifestyle is so wrapped up. And so there's not the culture of eating crap like we have. And I know, like, some people point out, well, Dallas isn't like Houston, or it's not like San Antonio. It's like, it's still Texas. And they still have tremendous Texas barbecue everywhere. If you want to eat poorly, you can do it. Like, in LA, it's just like, all I keep thinking about is every time they would bring a plate out, it felt like you were eating a tasting menu, except you were eating the entree, and it was always some Asian fusion that wasn't, like, that bad, but you got the bill, and you're like, that was $110? What was that? It was like, this is our take on decompressed sushi with a hint of jalapeno. It's like, where's the steakhouse? Like, just get me to that. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll move the Grizzlies to the list. I want to discuss, does the Super Bowl have low T? Is the Super Bowl jebbing real hard? Low energy, whatnot? Let's talk about that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesdays are NBA Tuesdays over at Zen Sports. And today's officially the NBA Tuesday Spread Challenge. You can take advantage of the promo over at Zen Sports. Make a minimum $5 spread bet on all 7 NBA games today and win a $1,000 bonus if you don't get them all correct. So here's all you have to do. Bet a minimum $5 spread on each of the 7 NBA games and you will get that $1,000 bonus if you get them all correct. The first spread bet you place on each game will be the bet that counts towards the promotion. If there are multiple winners, the $1,000 prize will be split evenly among all winners. Any other NBA spread bets made after the first qualifying spread bets will not qualify for the promotion. Odds on any qualifying spread bet may not be less than minus 200. So minus 199 would qualify, minus 201 would not. Any wagers deemed as wash betting by Zen Sports, regardless of whether either wager was made before this promotion, will not qualify for earning a prize as outlined below. After the bet is settled, a promotional bonus will be awarded to your Zen Sports account within 48 hours. The promotion can be combined with other promotions as well. Wagers are tracked and made in the central time zone. For a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older in Tennessee to bet. Odds subject to change. All wagers deemed as wash betting by Zen Sports, regardless of whether the either wager was made prior to the promotion, will not qualify for the prize outlined. All right, Tim, so I posed the question because I think this is a interesting Super Bowl in this sense. With all due respect to the Lions, given the injuries that they had on the defensive side of the ball, and when you consider how good the Eagles have been since October 1, really, I think it's a Super Bowl in which you can clearly say the best team in the AFC and the best team in the NFC have both arrived at the Super Bowl. Yet, we just spent the last 48 hours talking about Luka Doncic, and we're not alone in that. And so, I'm not saying I don't think people are going to watch the Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl has just become kind of a part of life. Like, there are certain years that you're probably more geeked up for Christmas than others. You're still participating in Christmas, like, you know, unless you're Jewish and you're doing Hanukkah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This Super Bowl, to me, though, being a football guy, it just feels like it's got low energy. Like, I feel like we're jabbing real hard. We're just low T. Like we're needing Frank Thomas to come in with some over the top drug that we saw on an ESPNU ad at 11:45 on Saturday night when we were betting the West Coast Conference of the Big West. Like, I just feel like right now, not a lot of buzz.
Yeah, I mean, I understand there's the fatigue of the Kansas City Chiefs right now, and the fact that this is what, their fifth Super Bowl in the last 7 years, is that right? Fifth.
So the only times they didn't Burrow, I think it's their
fifth and sixth years.
Yes, because Burrow kept them out.
Seven straight AFC championships. They lost that one to the Patriots.
They lost the first and the third, I believe.
Correct. Yes. First and fourth, because they made it. They beat the Niners, lost to the Bucks.
Yep, you're right. Because there were fans in the stands for the Bengals game.
Correct. I guess I don't know. I think I'd rather have seen Bills Lions because I think that would be kind of unique. And the fact that Bills fans are and Lion fans are kind of maniacs, and the fact that they would be in the Super Bowl for the Lions first time ever. and for the Bills, first time in over 30 years, would be kind of cool to see. We do remember that the Super Bowl 2 years ago was awesome, right? Like, I think that's what sometimes people are forgetting.
I think it's the way that the Super Bowl ended. Because I actually think, if you want to talk about where Chiefs derangement syndrome, I think patient zero is the Bradbury holding call at the end. And it allows Butker to make the field goal with, whatever, 6 seconds left. Because the thing that always fascinated me about that is Bradbury said, yeah, I held him. Like, he even said, like, after the game, he's like, yeah, I held. Because remember, the reporters went to him thinking, like, he was going to give him a quote, like, man, that was BS, whatever. He's like, yeah, I held him. I was just hoping they weren't going to throw the flag.
Right.
And so I think it begins then. And now we're at the point where, I don't know if you caught the Royal Rumble on Saturday night, but McAfee and Wade Barrett on commentary were even throwing out jabs about, you know, the amount of calls that certain wrestlers were getting. It's like the Chiefs out here. And then we had today the director of officiating in the NFL going off on everyone that thinks there's a conspiracy. But you coincide that with, did you see the NFL had to work out a deal with Pat Riley, who has the trademark to three-peat?
Three-peat, yeah.
So now everyone believes, well, because the NFL's doing that, because we all know the NFL just prints out the shirts like 60 seconds before they hand them out. Like, so that's why we totally don't have the jokes about there are people in Africa with, you know, Niners championship t-shirts, but people have just decided the NFL's rigged because they did that.
Yeah, it was a weird week how we just kind of had this whole, like, the NFL's rigging it for the Kansas City Chiefs deal. Not that they have one of the greatest coaches, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time playing together, and an elite, maybe the first coordinator ever to get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I know this. He certainly gave me one of the greatest days of my life.
So, I'm pretty fired up about this Super Bowl. I mean, we've got a point spread. We've got one of the shortest point spreads in the history of the Super Bowl. And we've got a rematch of a game that was phenomenal 2 years ago. So, in a perfect world, would I have preferred it to be like Eagles-Bills? Yeah, probably. I'll be honest, like, and this is, I hope none of my friends from D.C. are listening. I'm kind of glad Washington's not in it. I think they would have got smashed like they did against the Eagles. I don't know if the Lions would have gotten smashed. I think they proved that they were capable of playing with the upper echelon of the NFL.
I think it's fair to say this, though, as someone who watched every Lions game and as his team continues to suck, just found himself adopting the Lions this year for the sake of it. The Lions had the makings of getting blown out. If they would have did what they did against the Commanders, in which you turn it over three or four times, oh yeah, because they couldn't stop anybody.
Right. So I think this game has got so many unique wrinkles to it. You know, whether it's you're tired of Patrick Mahomes, you're tired of Kelsey, you're tired of Taylor Swift. I think this is as you pointed out to start this discussion, you've got the best team in the AFC. They lived dangerously for a while, but they just keep figuring out, man. They're Freddy Krueger. You just can't kill them. Like, this is just they keep finding ways to win these games down the stretch.
And this is kind of where, so my wife has become a Bills fan, and she's just so done with the Chiefs. It kind of causes a little bit of a strain because I think she wants me to just go, yeah, I hate them too. But I've been a Mahomes guy since Texas Tech. And it's kind of like one of those things where I've always believed that Andy Reid was a great coach. He just never had a great quarterback. And so there is kind of an element of, I kind of like confirming what my brain thought. I find Travis Kelce's personality insufferable. But with that being said, I've never once thought the football player is not a great football player. And I also keep coming back to this. I don't know if 17 straight or now 18 straight, whatever it is, 18 straight one-score game wins. I don't think that's luck.
At this point, I don't think you can say it's luck.
And the other thing I keep coming back to is, yeah, they were underwhelming, at least offensively, I felt like, for much of the year. in the first game that they knew it really mattered. Mahomes, I believe, had the most rushing attempts he's ever had in a career, like designed rushes. They put up 30 points for the first time this season. Like, I just kind of wonder, like, is there an element in the back of their minds like, hey, guys, this is kind of the regular season. And last year, I think, probably proved it. Like, they didn't have home field. We kept always hanging on to, well, let's see how it is when they go on the road. Well, they went on the road and they came out and they were still champions. Like, I just kind of wonder in the back of their minds, it's like, we got to preserve ourselves during the regular season. And then when we get to the postseason, that's when we unload the clip.
Or the end of the regular season.
Sure.
Because they smoked Houston. They smoked Pittsburgh. They had their bye week, essentially, against Denver, also to keep Cincinnati out of the playoffs.
That was F the Bengals.
Yeah. And then they comfortably beat Houston the following week. Important to some at the end of that game on the safety. And then they had a dogfight against the Buffalo Bills. And when it came down to it, they brought a blitz and Josh Allen made a hell of a play and Dalton Kincaid couldn't pull in what would have been a tough catch, but a catch he should have made. And they're winners again.
I always go back to that catch. Like, okay, if we really are living in the world where the Chiefs are the new Patriots, you know what it took for the Giants to beat the Patriots? The helmet catch. You know what it took for them to beat the Patriots the second time? I will go to the grave. It is the greatest throw and catch in Super Bowl history. Eli to Manningham with the safety in the corner draped right over the top, to which Belichick just throws the challenge flag thinking there's no way he got his feet down. It takes making that kind of catch. And I guess the only thing, because I'm not really in on the ref conspiracy, because I feel like I'm also living deja vu, where when I covered Ole Miss, there was always the Alabama ref conspiracy. The one thing that I'm really annoyed by, because when they had the pool report after the game, why has there not been an explanation given as to why one line judge had a spot beyond the line and the other didn't? They huddled up, and I do not believe that they huddled up and said, we got to make sure the Chiefs get the ball here. Because, by the way, there was the entire Buffalo Bill offensive line there, too. Like, so I don't think that was what was said. But why have they not offered an explanation? Because it was a fourth down run, and you could tell me, hey, because Josh, remember, they had not, first off, they didn't get it on third down. But the previous quarterback sneak, or the second previous one, Josh goes over the top and loses the football. Like, right. He got it right back. I believe the case would be, if Josh would have lost control of the football, because it was a fourth down, you can't fumble the ball forward,